And we're back here on CKUW 95.9 FM. As I mentioned before, I have a special guest here over the phone. It's Michael Schmidt. He's a dairy farmer and recently has been in court a few times in the last few years regarding the issue of the distribution of raw milk. So, Michael, first, could you explain why you were in court and what it's about?
Well, I was originally, that whole story started 1994 when we got raided the first time by a health unit to because we provided our people milk from their own cows. Mm-hmm. And then I lost that battle and then started up again in 1995 after I made an announcement publicly and a proposal that we would research the raw milk issue in order to find out if it's really so unsafe like the government claims, and that was railroaded by the government. Mm-hmm. But then I rebuilt our operation and did the research myself, and in 2006 we had an armed raid on our farm with 26 armed officers confiscating everything. We got arrested and so on, and then I've fought that whole battle and won in court in 2010. And I got acquitted of all charges. And then the government appealed. And in the appeal then, which came out last week on Wednesday, I got I was found guilty on all charges. And the point here is, I like to make is that the concept is that people actually, they own the cows, it's their cows, and they get their milk from their cows. And it's not, how shall I say, a sale of milk to them from a farmer who doesn't know his customer. No, these were people who actually owned the cows.
Right. You run a cow share program where people pay for the cows and then you provide them with the milk from their own cows.
Exactly. It is similar like when you board a horse. You know, you pay a certain boarding fee. Mm-hmm. And it's your horse. And the farmer or the adjuster takes care of that horse.
But this is done specifically because the only legal way in which someone is allowed to consume raw milk under Health Canada and the government's laws is that you have to be ownership of the cow, right? You can't buy raw milk in any store. Is that correct?
You cannot buy any raw milk in the stores. And the point I think is that. There's no restrictions on any farmer to drink milk from their own cow. So if you translate that into why is it that there is this discrimination that people, who, for example, who live in the city and who need the raw milk, why are they not allowed to drink, you know, to also have access to raw milk? And, you know, I understand all the, you know, all the concerns about health, but at the same time, the reality is that raw milk is inherently safe if you produce it under certain conditions, and that is what I'm trying to promote and promote for the last 17 years. Let's bring the whole underground raw milk market out in the open. Mm-hmm. So that we can properly establish standards, and that's what I did for the last 17 years, training farmers on how to produce safe raw milk.
Mm-hmm. And why would people? Why do people want the raw milk, even though you know Health Canada is saying it's considered dangerous?
Well, you know what, we have a certain dictatorial approach here on raw milk. They say you know raw milk has raw milk is the only food substance in Canada which has a zero tolerance for pathogens and you know any kind of bacteria. It doesn't apply to meat. It doesn't apply to vegetables or fish or whatever. And we know that cold cuts from maple leaf killed 22 people, and still it is all available. Mm-hmm. Raw milk, compared to that, is much, 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 much safer. And like I said before, it's inherently safe. And what Health Canada or the health authorities say is simply a fear-mongering because they don't want to deal with the issue. Mm-hmm. You have in so many jurisdictions around the world, and I think in the majority of the jurisdictions around the world, the raw milk, there's some form of regulation which allows the sale of raw milk. And we are the only country of the G8 nations who does not allow raw milk, and that is absolute, how shall I say that, strange when you really think about it, that people don't have the choice.
Right. I noticed raw milk is legal in apparently 26 U.S. states as well.
Yeah, that's right.
And but it seems like it's being treated similar to like illicit drugs in the way you have this great police expenditure to kind of attack your operation.
Well, it's not really. It depends where you are in the states. I mean, I visited a lot of states. In California, you can go in the supermarket, get it there. In some other states, you just can go to the farm, and that's fine.
Yeah.
In Germany, you go in, can go in the corner store, you get your raw milk, and they have a proper system, certified raw milk system. And, there is never, ever somebody got sick in Germany from certified raw milk. Mm-hmm. I just came back from a conference in Prague on the subject of raw milk, the International Raw Milk Symposium, and I talked to the guy who was the head of the Certified Raw Milk Association. He says, "No, we don't have a problem. It's a non-issue if you produce it right."
Right, but as far as the police coming down on you, why do you think they are enforcing this like with the the kind of actions they took, for instance, having undercover agents, go on to be part of your cow share program to try to shut you down and take you to court over it.
I think it, I think it's very simple. There's no disconnect between the dairy lobby and government. I think that they're too close. They're in bed with each other, and policy is made nowadays. Mostly by, I call it the, in regards to milk and safety of milk, is mostly done by the dairy industry itself. That means, that we have supply management, we have the Dairy Farmers of Canada, the Dairy Farmers of Ontario, and they have a vast interest not to allow any kind of milk outside of their system. So the whole debate is tainted, completely tainted in regards to the safety issue, and that they employ, and pre-war methods, like in Germany, to hunt down farmers who simply provide food for people who want the food. It's not for the public. That is a scary, scary scenario, I have to say that. And it's not only me, there's more. I mean, you look at the chicken farmers, how they, the chicken farmers of Ontario, how they're cracking down on the farmers. It's a complete control system. I think Communist Russia would have been proud of.
Mm-hmm. So it's, taking control away from people from their own food, right?
Yeah, and that is dangerous. That's really, really dangerous.
And so how much personal and financial expense has this legal fight cost you? I know it's you had to sell quite a few acres of your land in order to keep up this but you've continued otherwise.
Well, we had 600 acres and a flourishing operation, and then through this battle we had to sell 500 acres of our operation, so we were left with 100, and then together, but the wonderful thing is that together with our Kasha members, they all kicked in and we bought 200 acres back, so we're back to 300 acres. And it is, in fact, it is our Kasha members' operation. It's not, I cannot claim it's all, it's mine. It is really the Kasha members' operation. And that is so disheartening that there is such an ignorance, on even in the courts to the fact that people really make a conscious effort to get involved in their food production, and this basic right, which is under Section 7, the liberty and security of the person, is not allowed.
Mm-hmm. And you represented yourself in court, is that correct?
I did in the first round. When I got acquitted, I represented myself in court. It was a one-week trial, and that I won. And then the Canadian Constitution Foundation, which is a Canada Canadian white foundation, defending people when there are severe charter issues involved, they have taken on my defense now pro bono, I have to say, and so they depend on donations to bring this cause forward.
And so why were the charter, you know, arguments dismissed the second time around? Why was the, how did the appeal reverse this?
Okay, in my personal view on that, that's not a legal view, but that's my personal view. I think the judge had made up his mind. I don't know if he was himself in bed with the government that didn't want that. He made up his mind that he will deny and find me guilty, and then he put his arguments around that. There's no valid reason, and I think that is why we're going to appeal. There's no valid reason. He has no explanation in it why he wouldn't consider certain arguments to be brought forward. And so it is complete ignorance and denial of some basic arguments to be brought forward.
Are you campaigning to try to get it so that you can produce raw milk not just through a cow share program, but just through regulations that would make it make sure it's safe?
Do you know what? For me, for the moment, my focus is on cow share operations. Mm-hmm. Because the first judge, I think he was great. He said we don't have to change the law. We don't have to, we don't have to change the regulations. Michael Schmidt worked completely in the confines of the law with his cow share program, and I think that is good. I'm not out there to change government, to change policy or whatever. The only thing I want is that people across Canada have the liberty and the right to engage with a farmer on one-to-one, that he produces their food, and that they are not forced into a food they don't want to eat. That's all I'm asking for.
And you moved here from Germany, is that correct? And that's where you originally had a kind of program like that?
Yeah, that's right. It was 30 years ago. I was in Germany, and I had a program there, but that was more an engaging program to close the gap between consumer and farmer. Mm-hmm. And it turned out to be here, a legal reality. That it has to be in order to enable people to get their product. Now, I want to point out, it doesn't mean, I mean, when you look at history, it doesn't mean that courts are right. Yeah, mm-hmm. Courts are judges are human beings. I mean, they have their own opinion, and there's a lot of, when you look at the history of Canada, there has been a lot of injustice done, by not thoughtful judges. And, biased judges. And, it's mostly the people who suffer. It's not them, Mm. And I think that is the tragic reality we're living in. And at the same time, I need to applaud the first judge who presented such a careful ruling on the issue of individual rights and was very, very considerate to all the circumstances. And that gave me a lot of hope, but I was kind of deeply disappointed by the approach Justice Tetley had taken.
Mm-hmm. You mentioned individual rights. Another issue, it seems, is the sustainability, that it just makes more sense, in more environmentally friendly and sustainable to be able to cut out the middleman, so to speak, when getting your own food or milk or anything like that.
That's exactly it. Mm-hmm. That's exactly it.
So, anything else you'd like to say before we conclude here?
No, thank you so much for including me in your show.
All right,
and the sun is shining here, and I went on a hunger strike 5 days ago, mm-hmm. Because of the apparent threats they try to bring down now to intervene again in our operation before even all the legal proceedings are finished, and I will keep that up, with a clear demand that government recognizes the right of people for cow sharing and that the prosecution of cow share operations stops right now.
Mm-hmm. What could anyone do to help if they were interested?
I think it's really important. You can Google Michael Schmidt and raw milk, and there are different ways you can contribute to the Canadian Constitution Foundation, which is supporting this whole cause. You can go on the website www.bovinewordpress.com and get your updates there. There's many things. Contact your MP, your MPP, and so on. So there's many ways how you can do that. I think it's it's definitely not an issue of only raw milk. It's an issue of individual rights and freedom to choose.
All right. I really appreciate you coming on today, and good luck in the future. Okay, Michael?
Thank you.
Thanks so much. Bye-bye.